Well, a very good evening out there to you, and thanks for tuning in to another Thurse Talk here on Radio Kerry live from Tralee this evening. It's hard to believe it's getting so close to Christmas. All the lights are up and people out shopping and the whole lot. So hopefully you have a bit of a few hours to listen to us this evening. A big show again. It's quite amazing, I suppose, the amount of variations we have from show to show. But we're just 2 weeks away from our Christmas Thurse Talk quiz show course with our hurling and football pundits, and hopefully they're brushing up their reviews of the year, which I'd say they probably are. Now, tonight's show, let's see what's on it. We catch up with St. Sennans and Ballydunahoe ahead of the North Kerry Football Championship next weekend. We chat to Kerry GAA Treasurer Tom Keane ahead of his final set of Kerry GAA accounts for the Kerry AGM, which is tomorrow evening. They're reporting a profit of just under 400,000 after the year, and I suppose one of the big items, of course, is the training expenses. They're up 200,000. And we were wondering, we were having a chat before we came on, is that a lot of money? Is that the price of success, I suppose? And the annual income from the gates is down. It's down a small bit, actually. Is that surprising? Is it no surprise at all? Maybe there's something that you have in your thoughts as well. After seven, of course, we catch up with a former Kerry footballer and All-Ireland winner, of course, Sean O'Sullivan. He's finally hung up his club boots as well as everything else, and we'll recall some of his memories there for his many years' service with Cremorne, the small club down there. And of course, with the football season, I suppose, coming to an end for most districts, the interferm season is up and running, and we'll have Declan O'Sullivan on after seven as well, chatting about that, what's happening in Kerry. I see the Kerry Gardaí are off and running there with a win over the weekend as well. And we'll also catch up just before 7 o'clock this evening with Dingle GAA as they plan ahead for next weekend's Munster Senior Football Club final against Castlehaven. And before we start this evening, what a fantastic win by Clonmore's Camogie, who defeated the Galway champions. We had them on last week with us, and it's amazing. We had Michelle and we had Niamh and John. They went out and they done the business again at the weekend. It's a fantastic story, and hopefully this is one that is hopefully that has one that will continue, and we will have a bit more on that as well. Now, Mary McDonough, another girl that paid us a visit 2 weeks ago, she was preparing for the World Junior Boxing Championships in Armenia, and I'm delighted to report that not only did she get over, we were on about the big journey to Armenia, but she secured a world bronze medal at the 70 kg weight, losing out in the silver battle to an Indian opponent. And joining us now to discuss that and a little bit about more is John Coffey, another replacement. John, good evening to you. How are we getting on? It's a fantastic achievement for Mary. We were here a couple of weeks ago. We had our fingers crossed that you would go all the way, but you certainly went far enough, and to come back with a bronze medal of worlds is amazing achievement.
Yes. Hi, Donal. Good evening. It's a smashing achievement, to be honest. We're delighted for Mary to have done so well outside there and to achieve a bronze medal. It's spectacular for Kerry, for Munster, for Ireland. There's only been a total of 3 medals out there, 2 gold and 1 bronze. And Mary did extremely well on her first day. She was out against the
Kazakhstani opponent.
Kazakhstani girl, yeah. Yes, that's right. And she won 5-0 on that. And she met a very strong Indian girl in the semi-final. We thought Mary did enough in the second round to nip it, and if she had got that second round, possibly there would have been different tactics going out in the third, but unfortunately she didn't get either of the first 2 rounds, so mm-hmm. We had to go chasing this in the third, and it just didn't work out. But massive experience gained, and like super performances out of Mary over there as well. Now, to be fair,
yeah, absolutely,
I'm super happy.
Yeah, yeah, and it's guess about the fight, because I watched that fight against the Indian girl, and even this, we said the first round, I suppose the Indian, she came out fairly quickly on top of Mary and kind of maybe pushed her back a bit, and it took her a while maybe to settle. But in the second one, she certainly did settle more, and some of the judges did give the round to her as well. So obviously it was quite tight, and as you said, maybe different tactics and the whole lot. But that's the kind of experience you kind of need going forward anyway. I mean, You love to win, obviously, but I mean, it's good in a sense to say that you lost a bout for a silver medal, knowing that you had a bronze medal secured. And again, I mean, as you said, there was 12 boxers win from Ireland, 3 got medals, and she was one of those 3. So we'll say for her future, this is a massive stone on the way to it.
It is. It's look, it's all part of the journey for Mary, really. It's a massive achievement. And look, going forward now, she has the under-18s. She's stepping up another level into the under-18s next year. and that'll be happening in January, and hopefully then if she would get the right results there, she will be looking at another European Championship again in March, all going well. So yeah, this it's kind of really just kicking off for Mary this season now, really. So stepping up to the under 18s, it's another level, and there'll be more opportunities there for her. So we're really looking forward to that, because Mary is has a very special talent, and we're looking to nurture that and develop that as we go forward. So these tougher competitions will definitely help us in those endeavours.
Yeah, absolutely. I presume they're still over in Armenia. Are they on the way home, or is that not to be disclosed, maybe?
Yeah, no, they're just wrapping it up today, really, now. So we're expecting Mary into Dublin Airport tomorrow morning. So we'll be there with our flags to welcome her home. Really looking forward to congratulating her and have a little bit of a celebration, because it's well earned. Technically, she should be getting a little bit of a break, but we'll give her a couple of days, and we'll get back hammering at it again, because, as I say, it is, she'll be eligible for under 18s, which is another step up again, and she'll be the younger age in the under 18s, so there will need to be a lot of work put into it. But yeah, we're really looking forward to doing out to be there.
And of course, the work doesn't stop for the club either, and of course, this is Lucre Boxing Club. You had a couple of more boxers out in action over the weekend, I saw there on Facebook, with you?
We did. We had three other girls, Sean, Aliyah, and Michelle. We had three girls up in Eden Derry for an international. So they got great experience up there with Italians, there was French, there was Hungary. There was a shot of them up there. So yeah, they got three good contests throughout the weekend. Some of them favourable results, others not so much. But look, it's all about experience at this age. It's developing for the older age, really. So yeah, massive experience gained there as well by our three girls.
Yeah, and of course, John, coming on, I suppose, on the whole Katie Taylor kind of, I suppose, for Roar and the amount that she's doing for women's boxing, it's great to see so many talented young women in Kerry that you're producing, that are all kind of heading in that direction at least.
Yeah, no, it's great to see. Katie would be a big influence there now, to be fair, but there's a lot of females getting involved, and it's great to have the females involved. And it's, as the females are growing, the lads are also growing, so it is boxing is pretty strong at the moment, and look, we just need to keep on that wave and ride the wave as long as we can, really. It's all going the right direction, thankfully, and it's really, really worthwhile when you start seeing these results coming back for the likes of Mary, because they are life-changing results, really. You know, to say you have a bronze world medal is just a massive achievement, you know, and that's only the beginning. I can assure you all, that's only the beginning. Mary works very hard, and we'll work very hard with Mary to develop that, and hopefully one day we'll have a world gold medal.
Absolutely. Well, listen, it's a great start. We're delighted, I suppose, to be on the journey with you as well, and we will take every step the journey with Mary, and indeed all the other boxers that come out of Sleeve Lucre as well, indeed Kerry as well. John and Jennifer, you're doing great work as well. Congratulations. It must be a personal achievement to yourselves as well, for the amount of work that you've put in there over the last number of years. And as I said, it's probably nice to get the picture on the wall and move on. And it's a bronze world medal by Mary McDonough. And it's a fantastic achievement. We said it about 2 weeks ago, that we thought that she was one of those names that people don't really know yet, but we'll get to know in the future, and hopefully plenty more people will jump on board with that as well. John, congratulations. Thanks very much for joining us this evening. We really appreciate you taking the phone call in very quick notice as well. We'll take a quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Bernard O'Callaghan Memorial North Kerry Senior Football Championship final is going to take place on Sunday, as St. Sennans, who go in search of, I think it's their tour title only, and Ballydunnell, who are hoping for number 10, I think it is. We'll get that corrected in a second, I suppose. And on now to chat about that. Maybe give us a little flavour, of course, of why there's so much talk about a District Championship and indeed the Pride in the North Kerry Championship, our chairperson Marita O'Sullivan, as well as Eamon Whelan of St. Senan's and Robert Bunyan of Ballydunhill. So we have a complete balance, and we have Mairead in the middle to ref him as well. Mairead, normally when we're talking about the North Kerry finals, we're probably chatting maybe a little later in December rather than the start of it. So you must be happy with the fact that, I suppose, all the business is being kind of tied up and you're facing into a big final at the weekend.
First of all, good evening, Donald, and thanks for inviting me on. Donald, for the past maybe 6 or 7 years, I suppose, the clubs have come to the district board. We've sat down, we've looked at the fixtures calendar to try and get it played off a little earlier for the players' sake and for their families' sake, and to give it, you know, to give everybody a break and a rest, because the year is extremely long now. It runs from the end of January right up until December. So it's nearly a 12-month calendar now for players.
Absolutely. And of course, players do welcome those couple of weeks off, and when you get it nice and tight. And it runs well for a championship as well, that you have kind of consistency of game week after week, and supporters get on board as well. I presume there's a huge amount of preparation work in getting ready for a final as well, Mairead. I mean, obviously, it's not as easy as just picking a pitch and writing a few scribbly notes on a programme. I presume there's a lot of work in the background.
The preparation behind the scenes is momentous for both the executive and the hosting club. We have to organise gate personnel, there's pipe bands, singer of Ron Naveen, presentations of our Jubilee teams every year. And I suppose this year we're lucky enough to have two county championship teams to present as well on the day. So the running order of the day is quite tight, and I suppose it must go to plan. And this year the host club is Ballydough, and it's the first time in their history hosting an North Kerry final. So I suppose history will be written for the host club as well as either Ballydunhill and St. Sennans next Sunday.
Wow, it's guest. I think it's the first time in Ballydough hosting it. I mean, it's a fabulous facility up there as well. Who's the Jubilee team, just by interest, as this all kind of is?
The Stowell Emmets are the Jubilee team this year. They were as well last year.
Okay, fair enough.
So it was two in a row.
So they were going on a good run at that stage. Come here, Mairead, there's been a huge chat, I suppose, throughout all the championships about attendances, but there's still a huge appetite for district football. I mean, there's huge crowds go to district games that might necessarily go to, we'll say, bigger games throughout the year. I presume the crowds are turning up in force in North Kerry for the district games.
Yeah, we've had really good gate attendances, and the atmospheres have been fantastic. And I suppose an arcade championship takes a life of its own. The one thing about it is, regardless of your status in county competitions, once an arcade championship kicks off, all the clubs believe that this could be their year, and their supporters follow them in that belief.
Absolutely. Well, every fellow thinks it's going to be their year, which is great. Robert Bunyan, is it going to be Ballydunhill's year?
With the help of God, Donald. Now, it's a pity in one way we're meeting St. Sinners, because they're a small rural sub like ourselves, but we're in the final, and so are they, and deservedly so. St. Sinners have won two titles. They were unlucky in a few finals. Ballydunhill have 9 and heading for their 10th. Now, some of those finals had great runs, run back in the 40s and the early 50s. And then we went a long time, Donald, without a championship, from 59 to 92. And from 92 to 2017, we went over 30 years without a title. And I was around there in the 70s and the 80s and played a good bit with Ballydunhill. But we only got won one final in that 20 or 25 years. That's how hard it is to win. St. Sinan's have beaten Listowel, who won it last year, and who, of course, are in the county, county junior champions. They'll be hard to beat, and we've met them several times in championship games. So I would expect a real tough game. I hope Ballydunhill would come out the right side of it. But if not, I'd be the first to congratulate St. Sinan's, a small rural club like ours.
God, you love using the word small anyway, Eamon. How small are you out there in St. Sennans?
Oh, we're tiny, Donald. We're tiny.
you hardly have a club at all. I come here, of course. You have a history with Sennans, because I was out there in 2018, and I think that must have been your first one, and you beat Ballydunhill that day.
Yeah, I suppose we went a lifetime, Donald, without winning it, trying to win it. A huge amount of a lot of really, really great players in St. Sennans never won an North Kerry championship. Might have been in a final, might have been in two finals, but unfortunately never received a medal So it was a huge relief and a huge weight, I suppose, off our shoulders in 2018 when we finally got over the line. We were beaten 2 years previous in the final by Ballyginho, so it was good to get one back, and it was just great to get over the line for that first time. So it was a huge weight lifted off the shoulders, and thankfully then 12 months later we put one back to back, and we got a second title.
Yeah, you won the 19 one as well. Go back and talk to the first one, because look, I remember saying Michael Filemore winning our first South Kerry title at the time, and I understand when you say it takes a lifetime, because look, great players go through, but you just don't have enough players to make a great team, or sometimes you actually have a great team, you don't have the bit of luck that goes with you, and before you know it, it's in the next generation of players. But family in a small club instance with Sennans and no different to Ballyginho, families play a big part of it, because obviously, you know, it's a small area, families are, I suppose, a little bit bigger in senses, and brothers and uncles and cousins and a whole lot. Is there a big family involvement in Sennans at the moment?
There is, yeah. Look, there's a couple of families and quite a number of brothers playing on the team, brothers and first cousins and what have you. So yes, it is very very family orientated. As Robert has alluded to, we are a very rural countryside, no village obviously in the parish, or in our side of the parish. Obviously, we there are two clubs in the Lixnaw parish, Finuig and ourselves. Finuig would take in the Lixnaw side of it, even the players can play with anyone. Traditionally, the Lixnaw players would play with Finuig, and the upper side of the parish, as we call it, more towards Listowel, play with St. Sennans. And we're lucky enough that we get a good kick from Kilflin as well, which would be a neighbouring village. We get quite a number of players from the Kilflin cross area.
Robert, I love the way he kind of says we get a little kick from the Kilflin boys. I mean, obviously they had the Mercator hurlers and they're fairly fit, and they're on a winning streak at the moment. Yourselves, Ballydunho, you lost the 2020 final to Desmond's, and you tripped up in 2018 to Sennans. Is there a sense that, God, we need to get this one over the line?
I often say to them, if you win as much as you can while you can, because we went years without winning one, then we won two in a row, failed to win the third one because they're not Kerry championships. You're awfully lucky to win two in a row, Donal, and Desmond's did it there a couple of years ago but failed to do it last year, and we have to go back way back to Beale to win two in a row. But even to win one is a very hard thing, and we are lucky at the moment that we have players like Jason Foley and his brothers, and we have the Kennelly brothers, and we have another Foley family, and the Gogarty brothers. So as Ian was saying there, out of a few houses, you know, we get a lot of the team that won't last for us, so we try and hopefully try and win what we can while we have these fellas, because there will, like any club, there'll be downturns again. So that's what we'll be hoping on Sunday, to come out on top.
Yeah, and you have Jack Kennelly as well. I mean, as a Ballydunho supporter talking to a South Kerry man face to face, maybe, was his point against Beale to rescue the draw as important as the point he got late to win the game?
Well, if you want somebody to try and rescue you at the moment, it would be Jack Kennelly, and that was vital.
Yeah.
And we'd be as good as gone out of it, because that game was a draw. I think that was the fourth game in the North Kerry Championship that went to extra time. So that's how hard it is to win it. But Jack Kennelly, beautiful footballer. He's a great home trainer as well. He has a lot of things going for him. And his brother Paul, hopefully, would make an appearance on Sunday. And they'd be, if Tommy Kennelly was right, but he's injured, there'd be four Kennelly brothers playing next Sunday. And that's, as I say, we try and win what we can while we can. But his brother Paul, when he's in top form, he was a brilliant scorer as well for the club. But Jack has scored brilliant points, and probably will do so again next Sunday, we hope. But that one was vital, otherwise we were gone out of the championship.
Absolutely. Mairead, I mean, I don't know if you're good at history or whatever, but there's been eight different clubs have won the North Kerry Championship in the last 13 years, and the boys have alluded to how hard it is to win it, and some clubs have won back-to-back, Sennans of course, and Bellion have both back-to-back, and Desmond's as well in that run. Is it an exciting championship to be the chairperson of, knowing that there's no kind of outright favourite? There might be teams that have better chances than others, but the fact that you're going to get maybe a fresh face or a new face to the fore every year, I mean, that in itself brings huge attendances and brings huge life to the North Kerry Championship.
Well, I suppose, first of all, Donal, it's a huge honour for me personally and my family to be chair of such a strong, vibrant and traditional board. The North Kerry Championship, as you've said, it's, I suppose, because of the belief that, you know, well, most of our clubs are small clubs. They're rural clubs, except, I suppose, the two hot favourites every year would be Listowel and Castle Island Desmond's. And I suppose this year, when both of those bowed out in the quarterfinals, you could notch up the excitement in the district another level, because now the two favourites were gone, so it was absolutely anybody's to win. And I think the players, when they're training in these cold winter nights, the belief that they could possibly win something and win an North Kerry Championship drives it on, and their families buy into it, the board buys into it, and it's just a hugely exciting competition for a district competition.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Mairead, it creates huge banter around the place as well. I mean, obviously, North Kerry, kind of a tight-knit district, and I suppose there's a club nearly on every corner and every doorstep as well. And Phil, you know, people are going to the shop and buying their milk, and they're having a bit of crack with each other as well. That kind of rivalry, I mean, it's kind of going out of the game in places, but this kind of keeps it traditional, and kind of coming up to Christmas, people coming home, and maybe people in England, and I suppose more people can watch things now, and maybe obviously on Facebook and social media and the whole lot, and see the scores and the points and the whole lot. It's kind of a bigger topic even outside of North Kerry. I presume there's fellas down the middle of New York City at the moment having a bit of a laugh at a belly dunhill fellow wearing the wrong t-shirt, maybe, or maybe some Flynn Sennons, that kind of stuff. But it brings it all home as well.
It does. I suppose it's a connection, because I was away for many years myself, and I loved getting back down the motorway to Kerry. It's one of the things for people who are away. It ties you to your parish. We're all neighbours, and most of the time, Donal, we're all friends. So we do cross paths a lot. You'd walk into a shop and people mightn't even notice you've come in, and you'd hear, you know, two men picking up the paper, and they'd be talking about Sunday's game, and the kids be asking you, who do you think's going to win? And that goes on all around the villages and the towns. And you go in for a drink and the pubs are full of North Kerry Championship banter at the moment. Who's the referee? Is the pitch good enough? I haven't been out there in ages. I suppose because it's Ballyduff's first time, that causes a bit of excitement. They've put huge effort into their pitch there. It was like a carpet for the last 2 weeks. So, you know, people who may never have travelled out to Ballyduff will be there on Sunday. They'll see the fine facilities, and it just adds another element of, I suppose, of excitement. They're going somewhere new. You know, they have backgrounds on referees, who's best, who shouldn't be best, and all this banter adds to the build-up, I suppose, on the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it'll be in doubt all the way to the end. Eamon Whelan, back to you with Sennons. Can I go back to 2018 mm-hmm. again? Because I kind of want to touch on the first one, because I suppose, Robert, you were hardly around when Ballydunhill won the first one, but we were all around when Sennons won it. Can you let the listeners know? I mean, like, teams want to win county championships, and they want to win Munster titles, and that's all part of the process, and it's out of reach maybe for some teams. Obviously you can go through the door and maybe win junior and hit premier junior, whatever you want, but to win a North Kerry, though, I mean, we were talking last week with the St. Mary's, and obviously Brian Sheehan, he's got 14 medals, but his sister Sheila said that Jack O'Shea, who was obviously one of the greatest footballers of all time, he'd only 4 South Kerry titles because Valencia were strong at the time and they kept holding him back. What's it like to have a medal? What's it like, you know, to know, I suppose, in the parish, because you've won so few of them, that you can nearly name all the fellas who have medals?
Yeah, I suppose, probably as I noted earlier, Donal, 2018 was just such a weight lifted off of the shoulders of every Sennons player, past and present. Like, there was just, I suppose, an overwhelming sense of relief in the stand. I can remember when outside the day we won it in my van, the first one. And everyone was just so delighted. There was no, you know, a lot of the players said that I would have played with, and I can remember the first final the St. Sennons were in before I was playing myself in 1980 against Castle Island Desmonds, game played below in Finuig. And like from that time, I could just sense that there was a feeling within players and mentors and supporters and St. Sennons that they just needed to win a North Kerry Championship, to be taken seriously as a proper club in North Kerry. And you know, for years you'll be talking and having a bit of banter with your neighbouring clubs or whatever, and sure, they used to always love to be able to throw at us. How many North Kerry championships has that you've won again? And at least now that is gone. And there's a lot of the players say that are playing. They'll be playing this Sunday. At least half of them will have a championship medal. Some of them, of course, will be going for their first. So it'll be. It'll be something very exciting and new for them. But at least half of the lads who will be playing on Sunday will have won. So I suppose it's just, as I say, going back to 2018, it was just such an overwhelming sense of relief to have finally got that medal. And you know, people might say, at long last, we as a St. Simon's club, we might be taken seriously, because we were all renowned, you know, well, you've great facilities and you've had great players and all the rest of it. But you know, I suppose you always like to be known as having great footballers and having great teams as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert, Ballydun, who down through the years, plenty of great footballers at Truth. As you said, they've won 10, but I suppose the flip side of that is they've won few enough in recent times. But they did win the double there they won in 16 and 17. What was that like again, Robert? I mean, recreating that history at the time, because obviously, like you said, they went a good many years without winning one. And then you had two back-to-back, and obviously, I suppose, you had the Foleys coming through there as well, playing, I suppose, Kerry Senior and Kerry Junior and the whole lot, and they kind of pushing on the team as well as all the other players with them as well. What was that like to win the double that time and be the Kings of North Kerry, Robert?
It was something else, Don, because it galvanised the club in every way. The club grounds, the officers, the healthy club, the players, the mentors. It's easier to get people to do jobs when you win. It's easier to get players to play. And we'd gone 30 something years without winning, so a whole generation of very good club players didn't win anything. And then when you mentioned America there a while ago, we've a big population in America, and the chairperson of New York GA, Joan Kiley, or Joan Hinchy, is married to Mary Dunahoman, so we'll have a lot of people out in New York and other parts of America and of course as well, and it galvanizes them as well, Donal. And it not only have we keep the club going for a good few years, because we actually got to three finals there, and we still have a lot of those players the next day, and then we'll have a few players who were only 14 or 15 when we won it last. So that's another generation coming up, and it keeps it going. I think you have to win something, or you have to get the finals to galvanise the club, otherwise it's not that easy anymore to keep people in voluntary jobs.
Yeah, absolutely, you're right. Like you said, when you get there, you have to win it. Mairead, I won't ask you who's going to win it. I presume you're hoping for a draw, are you?
No, I am not, Donald. That's a myth.
Would you not want another day out?
No, Donald, I do not. That is a complete and utter myth of not that the officers of the board want to draw. What I would ideally love is a closely contested game, right. Plenty of excitement for the neutrals and the supporters, and a result on the day.
Fair play. I thought you were going to say 14 minutes of additional time in a late free or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm praying to the gods in the heavens that everything runs smoothly.
Absolutely. Well, look, it will run smoothly. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Eamon Whelan, last question to you. I suppose Senans are going into it. People are saying there's a bit more form on the Senans side. You took the big dogs out, your neighbours. What was that like, winning that game, actually?
Yeah, it was, again, I suppose, no different to Bellingen, who ourselves and Listowel would be near neighbours and great rivals. Listowel obviously had won the junior premier title the week before we played them. They were on a high, and no better time to catch a team, I suppose, than when they're on a high, and maybe their full focus mightn't have been on it, but certainly the focus of St. Simon's on that day was on it, and they just squeezed out the win, which was great for the club.
Yeah.
And I suppose at the time a lot of the Senans players were quite busy, because more than half of our team would have been very involved in the run with Crotter, so they were doubly invested at the time. So it was difficult enough, I suppose, to focus solely on football, because obviously a number of the lads they had the hurling with Crotter,
of course.
Absolutely. And like there was a super relationship, thankfully, and I suppose that was really the main thing about it. There was a great relationship between the two management teams and the welfare of the player and was paramount, I think, when they were considering who and when they would train. So it worked out great so far. Looking, as I say, no, just very exciting facing into a final on Sunday.
Isn't that a great sign of an area, Eamon, when that balance can be struck to allow football and hurling achieve the best they can achieve? And obviously the Crossa story was fantastic this year after their long wait as well, and into the Munster Championship, and we had him on the show there a couple of weeks ago, and indeed some of them are actually playing as well, but isn't that kind of a great achievement of a community, as small and all as you are, that you can strike that perfect balance?
Yeah, and I suppose again, probably no different to Belgium, but we are blessed with an absolutely fantastic community here. Anytime we need to do anything in the pitch, we hosted the St. Sinan's hosted obviously the semi final, the Munster semi final, where Crossa were playing, and there was a huge commitment by all the local community, say for parking cars and for stewarding or whatever. So that, to be quite honest about it, St. Sinan's and Crossa just couldn't survive properly without each other and without the cooperating extremely well. Someone of the two clubs or both clubs would suffer if that wasn't the case. And look, it's just something that is nearly taken as part of the course anymore, Donald, to be honest. That relationship and it works really, really well. And I suppose the management teams involved each year, they know how important it is for that relationship to be so good.
Mm-hmm. Robert, finally to you, your best highlight, your best memory of North Kerry finals, obviously you can pick Ballydun winning a rake of them and the whole lot, but even as a smaller fella or as a younger fella, can you remember going to your first one?
Oh, I can indeed, and Betty Longford were the team.
Oh God, John Kennedy would be delighted with that, wouldn't he?
He would, even before John Kennedy's time in the 70s, you had some terrific players for them, and we weren't winning championships that time, so it was Barry Longford and Stoll maybe were the big clubs at the time, but if you want something that stands out in my mind was Jackie Walsh from Barry Longford. I would have to say he was the finest club, cleanest club player. He was a very clean player. There's many fine clean players there, but Jackie was a terrific player, a scorer for Barry Longford, and I would say pound for pound he was one of the best club players I saw playing in the North Kerry Championship. That's until Barry Dunhu came up, but I won't stop naming those that I get into trouble.
You'll be alright. Well, absolutely never name heroes in your own club anyway, because you'll either leave them out or you'll make them heroes, one or the other, I don't know which is worse sometimes. Listen, Robert, thanks very much. Eamon Whelan, a pleasure as always, and Mairead, listen, hopefully everything goes right for you. Hopefully you get your 14 minutes of added time and a bit of dram and the whole lot, and a winner on the day. But sure, if you don't get a winner on the day, you might get another day out. And the very best luck to all those out in Ballyduff as well. I know how important it is when your club gets selected the first time around, and like you said, loads of people will be coming out, and there'll be tea and there'll be sandwiches and there'll be car parking, and hopefully everything goes right, and hopefully get the weather for it as well, because you deserve that as well. And the very best luck to both sides. I love the way that Robert starts, it's a small club, and Eamon then says we're a small club outside the town. You're all very small clubs, but one of you will be a small bit bigger the next day, anyway, all going well, and one of you will have the North Kerry Championship, and wish the best luck to both teams and all the players as well. After a break, we will shift from North Kerry back to West Kerry, because we're going to talk to the chairman of Dingle.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home. Breaking down the weekend's sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, next Sunday at 2 p.m. in the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick, is the place that every Dingle supporter, I presume, will be camped at, and certainly if they're outside, they'll be inside as well. When they want to watch their side, of course, take on Cork champions Castlehaven in the Munster Senior Club Football Final. And it's been a busy time for the West Kerry Club over the last number of weeks. And one man, I suppose, as busy as the rest of them, or maybe even a bit busier at times, is their chairman, Sean O'Sullivan, who joins us now on the line. Iheva, Sean, Kunasata Kursi on Tranona Shah, I go for good Dean.
Gobbledy and Ashesh, August Haja Gohunta, and the part of the Komotus Morsa. Comortis, yeah. And she had about to win the Comortis, I guess. I mean, on the road, than the Mnori, I guess, the Dina have banished doing it before now.
Absolutely. And of course, it is a proud moment for the club. Like you said, it's the first time at this juncture. It's been a long journey to get here, Sean, hasn't it, over the last number of years? I mean, I suppose a lot of hilly slopes that you went up and down the other side, maybe. But you're here now, and I presume the preparation and everything is top notch.
It is, yeah. Look, I suppose this bunch of players are arguably the best Dingle team ever, and I suppose that's their reputation now, I suppose. They have worn the jersey with pride, and you know, got stuck in and shaped up, and they've lifted the hearts of all Dingle people, not only in the town itself, but all around the country and indeed worldwide. We have people, you know, logging into the broadcast of it, mm-hmm. All over the world, really. And, you know, that's no small thing. So I suppose, look, they have brought us to a place where we have struggled to reach, as you said, for a lifetime. But look, Dingle are proud of them, as I say. The club is proud of them, and certainly their families are proud of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you know, they've already written a new chapter, I suppose, for Dingle football by reaching the Munster final. And you know, it's just fantastic to be part of it.
Yeah, and the enormity of that at the moment, I presume the community is well aware of it. It's like I said, there's an international side to Dingle as there's a local side as well, with so many people abroad. I mean, are you hearing stories of people getting home and you know, trying to get home early to watch it? I mean, obviously it is Castlehaven, it is Kerry versus Cork, it's the other side, it's above in Limerick. Are you hearing stories of people who mightn't have gone to too many matches over the years, they're getting in and they're heading out and supporting it? Because when that All-Ireland trip begins, and obviously you're on the Munster leg of that journey, it tends to kind of galvanise a lot more people that might have fallen away over the number of years, and you know, more people are coming back into the club, and the jerseys and the colours are going up on the wall. Have you noticed a bigger support or more people arriving on the scene?
Yeah, certainly you have a great point there. I mean, we saw this when the Pobl Scull won the Hogan Cups, the first Hogan Cup in 2014. You know, I think there was a lady that has passed away now. I think she was in her 80s, and she travelled up to Dublin in the bus. So, like, you know, people come out at that when they see, you know, and they see a local team, you know, doing well. Like, you know, even for the last game, for the semi final, we had Sean O'Bolo and Sean Boland from Goatsree here in Dingle. He was out in Lebanon. He flew in on the Saturday before the finals. You know, great football families, you know, in Dingle here, and you know, it was great to see him there. But as you say, look, there'll be people coming out of the woodwork, as you say. You know, I think up in Thurles last year there was something like just shot to 1,400 people there, mm-hmm. but we definitely had a very vocal support there, like, you know, led by Matthew Flaherty's father, who's a clairman, by the way. And
that's where the hurling comes from, is it?
I think he's going up to 6 Mile Bridge the night before the match, and bringing down a crowd from 6 Mile Bridge. So hopefully we'll have a lot of support. And, yeah.
they won't have far to come in from 6 Mile Bridge, to be fair.
No, into
Limerick. Come here. The nuts and bolts of getting to it, I presume when you're in the Munster, I mean, obviously there's stuff to get ready for programmes and all that. Does the workload on an executive rise? I mean, obviously this evening, in a couple of minutes, you're going to have your press conference from 7 to 8, and it's fantastic that, you know, that as a club, that they have that facility, that you are opening the doors from 7 to 8 for the media to do their coverage, so the boys can go back to their business then, I suppose, later on in the week and get knuckled down to, I suppose, what is the primary role, obviously, is trying to win the game. But all these little additions and extractions, is it a bit of fun and enjoyment, or is it maybe a small teen on the head at times?
No, it's not a burden. There's a lot of work involved in it, but we don't regard it as work. It's just a pleasure, you know. We leave our day job and go and do the preparation for this fantastic journey we're on. Sure, it's like a holiday, you know. So it's real pleasure, like, you know, to be involved with such a great bunch. They're together there now all year, and you know, they started training there early, you know, back in January, We had Mark Evans, who did a lot of work in the gym with him. Hopefully that's paying off now. And, you know, volunteers. And then the management. A great credit has to be due to the management. This is my third year as chairman, and I'm with the team. I just like to go to the training, and, you know, it's... my job is in picking up the cones, and that had nothing to do with the training. But I just like being involved in it, and I can see that the time they put into it is just incredible. I can with training, they're in the field an hour before training, okay, and they're probably putting another 2 hours in preparation of what they'll do, and then when training is over, I leave the field, and they're there at least another half an hour after me, okay. And these people, they're not taking 1 cent from the club. It's only costing them money. But anyway, look, they're enjoying it too, and it's just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to acknowledge the contribution they have made over that. This is the current management team. This is their fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have young families, and sure, the time it takes up is just incredible.
Yeah, and they've been aging closer and closer to success every year, to be fair to them. You're obviously, I suppose, the club chairman is one way of looking at it, but you're obviously dead to a couple of them as well.
I have one player and one of the subs, but they're five sets of brothers actually, and there's three the Gainey brothers are there, so I don't know, does that happen very often? But yeah, somebody pointed out that yesterday to me.
Amazing. It's a real band of brothers. Is it harder or easier to watch it when your own gang are playing? I mean, obviously sometimes when you're a chairman and you kind of know them, but you know, obviously I suppose we all have sons that play football as well, and you're sitting in the stand and the whole lot, you want everything to go right for them. Can it be a difficult enough task at times?
Yeah, it is. But look, I'd say whether you have anybody playing, once you're from Dingle, I think whether you're a son playing or not, I think it's the same feeling for probably everyone. You're just kicking every ball with them, and you know that's the way it is. But it's fantastic.
Absolutely. Come here, Sean. Dr. Crokes, Austin Sex, Desmond's, Lone Rangers, Raheli's, and your next door neighbours all have one. Is there more pressure to get one because of the neighbours having one?
There is, I suppose. Look, we have created our own little bit of history anyway, that we have actually got to the Munster final.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, and everything is a bonus now. You know, that's the way we're looking at it. They have taken, every game has been taken in its own. That's the way the management has spoken to the players all along. Like every game is taken in its own. It's just one more trip. We're 60 minutes away from Croke Park.
Absolutely. Are ye running buses and all that? Have you big logistics the next day? Have you anybody that you need to kind of give a shout out to or whatever?
We were going to run a bus for the last game, but I think people, they have their own cars and things, you know, like so. Look, there's people going to organise bus, but we're not going to get involved in that. Like we probably have enough to do to be organised.
Enough to put them on the bus.
Then it's a relatively easy trip to Limerick, an hour and a half. Like an hour and maybe three quarters you get to Limerick, I suppose Thurles would that be further away, all right, but I'd say the way people felt about it, they wanted to be independent, go on their own car, so not great now for the carbon footprint, I suppose, but anyway. And people are more independent, I'll get four or five in the car, stamp them, whatever they are. But the fact the number of people that were up and thought of supporting Dingle was, we were really gobsmacked with it. Yeah.
It's fantastic. But of course, I presume a lot of them are from other clubs as well. I mean, obviously, you're Dingle going, but I mean, you're flying the Kerry flag as well, and that's a very important flag, and it does garner a lot of support, and I suppose the further on you go. Have you seen or have you watched any bit of Castlehaven on their journey?
I have watched a bit of it. Look, the management, I'd say, which are, they're really experienced in this. I think they won two Munster finals in their, in recent history. So, they're well used to this journey, I'd imagine. It's a first for us.
Fair play to you.
We leave no stone unturned, if that you do.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Ardmore, Aaron Downlock, I suppose, Sulagin, Gomegan, and Boyguin.
Yeah, we're going to Donal. I was kind of Roilish and Mouth Takir have to be known pubs. You know, the financial support we've got from the business people in the town and the ordinary people of the town has been fantastic, because as you know, when you go outside the county, it costs money. And you know, we overnighted in Limerick and our way to Turles, so that was a big cost. But look, we're very grateful that people of Dingle and even, you know, Gaeltacht, then actually the sport are coming behind us also. So you know, it's great, you know, to get that financial support. So yeah. So,
good morning, Donald.
Big
Lagan. Lacuna Day, absolutely. And we will have another day. You'll have another day where you'll have to collect another few bob for a bus or something, maybe. They'd be the good headaches to have, Sean. Listen, the very best of luck this evening with all those heavy profile fellas heading back there around 7 o'clock. Keep them all on check. I think Timmy Moynihan will be asking you all sorts of questions as well. But sure, you've got a dry run at it now, Sean, so I think you'll be fine.
Good morning,
Slánish. That, of course, was Sean O'Sullivan, of course. Chairman of the Dingle GAA Senior Club, of course, and of course another congratulations to Dingle as well, because I see today on Twitter something that they won an award for the Gaeltacht Awards, of course, for the amount of work that they do speaking Irish back there as well, and I think the ladies club coming on, they actually won the gold medal as well, which was absolutely fantastic, and an awful lot of work going back, good work of course going back there in Dingle, on both sides of the fence, the males and the females as well. And look, wouldn't it be absolutely fantastic to see them lift the Munster Trophy, and as I said, add to the amount of clubs that we have. We've only got six now. I know a couple of them were mid-Kerry, East Kerry, but we took them off the list, to be fair, because there's only six clubs that have won it. Of course, Dr. Crokes have won an awful lot of them. I think they've won eight of them. Stacks they've definitely three anyway, if they have three. Who else have them? I suppose Desmond's have two, surely. Lone Rangers probably have a pair of them as well. And of course, Gaeltacht, I remember beating the Clare crowd back in, I think it was 2003 maybe. And of course, Rahalies won it last year. So wouldn't be great to see Dingle lift the cup on Sunday. We'll go to news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, I presume it's hard to finally say to oneself that the time is up when you come to think about putting away your boots finally, and I suppose taking that decision is what my next guest did when he decided to step away finally from club football, although you never know, he might change his mind. Well, my next guest not only has a glittering, I suppose, inter-county career, winning four All-Ireland medals, but I reckon a club one that spanned four decades. Now, that makes him sound really ancient, of which he isn't. Of course, I did cheat a little bit in the numbers. Sean O'Sullivan, first of all, I presume you don't feel like a guy that has played club football for four decades.
Well, I played a five-a-side soccer tournament yesterday, Donald, so I do feel it today, to be honest. I'm fairly tight now today in all aspects. I was supposed to be going playing more soccer this evening, but I made the decision around lunchtime that
you failed the fitness test.
I'd be asking for trouble going again tonight. No, don't look. First of all, thanks for having me on. I'm nearly half embarrassed, to be honest with you. There's a lot of fellas out there with a lot more distinguished careers than I had, who have walked away from football as well, and haven't got half the publicity for it. So thanks for having me on. But no, I don't feel that I've played football for the best part of four decades club football anyway, Donald, because It never felt like that to me. It never felt like a chore, to be honest with you. It just felt like a natural thing to do. I suppose ever since I was a small fella, it's all I ever wanted to do. I'd say my parents can testify to that. Danny and Patricia were probably sick of balls hopping off their wall and in through their windows. My mother was washing gear and bringing me to games and stuff like that from a very early age. And even, I suppose, when I did finish up, I was flicking through a few scrapbooks that she would have kept, and there's pictures of me sitting up on the wall, you know, at our own house and at neighbours' houses, and you were either in a Kerry gather up or a Cremorne gather up. So from very early on, to me, it was all I ever wanted to do. So I never felt it was a chore, to be honest, and that's why I suppose I enjoyed it so much and stayed at it for so long, you know. And I think anyone that does play into their late 30s, early 40s, Donald, will say the same. They do it because they enjoy it. I think the time will come where you feel the hunger isn't there anymore, and that's when you start to say to yourself, "Then, okay, look, it might be time to hang up the boots." And I think that's what really happened to me. As such, the body is still up to it, but I just felt the hunger was gone this year, and that's why I decided to finally pack it in. You know,
mm-hmm. It does get harder. I remember you coming on the scene. I mean, obviously we were below in Division 5 with Cremon for years, and I remember every club had a kind of a good young fella or a new young fella or a fit young fella. You played early enough, I presume. I mean, you were definitely there in the late 90s, if I can chart my own career somewhere along the way, because you were a Kerry minor, but that time Kerry minors did play club football.
Oh, they did. And you see, Donal, I suppose it was back in the days too where you could play senior football from very early age, so there was no restriction in terms of you didn't have to be, mm-hmm. you know, as we see at the moment with the vote that went on there recently about, you know, should they keep the age at 17 or 18. Back then it was if you're good enough, you're old enough. Like, I played, I remember coming on, I can remember like it was yesterday, I played my first senior game back in Glenbey in a mid-Kerry league match when I was 16. And, you know, you were walking into a senior men's dressing room, and Donal, you know well, walking back into a senior dressing room back in the late mid to late 90s, you know, it was a different type of environment. you had to be thick-skinned, you had to be ready for it. But I walked into a fantastic dressing room. There was really, really good guys in there. I actually messaged them all when I was packing it in to say thanks for looking after me as a young fella, because it was, as you know well, Division 5 football back in those days was, it was a dog-eat-dog world. And, mm-hmm. you know, the likes of Kieran O'Callaghan, Tomás Hayes, Brian O'Sullivan, Stephen Casey,
wow.
you know, all these great Cremon players really, really took me under their wing when I came on that senior team first. And if there was ever a fella from St. Michael's Filemore or trying to maybe get a bit physical with me because he knew I was a young lad, the lads would always step in and protect me. And I owe them an awful lot, because you see, Donal, like, just going back to, you know, the aspiration was always to play with Kerry, but you see, my first set of heroes were those fellas, because mm-hmm. my late uncle Patrick was a selector on the Cremon team, and I used to go to training with him when I was young up to watch the Cremon seniors. And before you knew it, you'd find yourself going in goals because they might be one short for a training match, or you'd be behind the goals kicking the balls out to them. And Jesus, that was, for me, that's what I might as well have been up in Croke Park, because that was brilliant, like, you know. And I'll never forget, Cremon won the novice championship in 1994. Inside in Killarney. I was only 14, and I remember after the game actually getting on the players' bus. They were going out to the Killarney Heights for their food after, and I'll never forget being put on the bus and down the back seat with the cup. And Jesus, sure, that was like heaven for a young fella like me. It was brilliant. And it, you know, everyone needs their first set of heroes. Of course, look, we can all look up to Maurice Fitzgerald was my first hero, and in the green and gold, but you every young fella or girl needs their first set of heroes, and they always come from the club. And those guys that I just named were mine. I mean, Brian O'Sullivan was man of the match in the 1992 championship final, county championship final, and sure, straight away we had a hero to look up to in Cremon with his long hair and his silky skills and his left foot. And I ended up playing with Brian and on the Cremon seniors, you know. So there you go. Like, so we were, ever before I came along or Dunica Walsh came along, we had Brian O'Sullivan to look up to, you know. So that's what every club needs, if you have it, is a real good club stalwart that young guys and girls can look up to and maybe follow in their footsteps.
Yeah, and I presume somewhere along the way, Sean O'Sullivan and Dunica Walsh go from those young fellas into those kind of heroes that you had back in the 90s, and you kind of do become a guardian of the team, and you watch the next generation of Cremon players come through. And Cremon's a small club, I mean, don't get me wrong, but I mean, like, big days for small clubs, they don't come around that often, but they're great to share in it, and it creates a whole different set of memories. Obviously, you had your Kerry career and you had your mid-Kerry career as well, but club careers and club memories, they must hold either a special place or maybe even a higher place in players' in lives.
Yeah, I think, look, if you ask any inter-county footballer, Donal, they probably are able to separate their inter-county career and memories to their club ones. And not that one overshadows the other or anything like that. They're both very, very special, but they just hold very different places in your heart. You know, God, don't get me wrong, the days we had with Kerry are just mm-hmm. unbelievable, you know, and we look back in years to come, you know, getting to 6 or 7 All-Ireland finals in a row and winning All-Ireland and Munster titles, and the camaraderie and the friendships I built up with all those Kerry fellas still last to this day. But it's any fellow will tell you it's your club mate is probably there's something really different about it, because they're the guys you grew up with, they're the guys you went to national school with, they're the guys you travelled on the bus with to secondary school, they're the fellas that you went to your Debs with, they're the fellas you had your first Holy Communion and confirmation with, they're the guys that you end up playing with. And I suppose it does make it that much bit more kind of sweeter is when you are from a small club, because every fella has to row in together because the numbers just aren't there. And absolutely any bit of silverware or big day we got with Cremon was for me just as special as any time we won an All-Ireland above in Croke Park. And people might think that's strange, Jesus, you're blown Division 5, what are you on about, you know, you can't compare a Sam Maguire to a novice championship, but you can. Mm-hmm. You can, because we would come back with those trophies here to bonfires and down into Jack's for our celebratory dinner and drinks with your, and it's the people that you grew up alongside are there celebrating with you, and it means, you can just see it in their faces, it means so much to them. Now, we didn't have a huge prize to celebrate in Cremon. We, as I say, we won a couple of novices, we won some O'Sullivan Cups here in Mid-Kerry, we won a Munster Junior B Championship, we had some great runs in the Millennium Cup as well back in the day. But really, Donal, when you come from a small club, it's all about keeping the thing going.
Yeah. And it's flying the flag till the next game come along, and making sure that the jersey is still there, and the and Cremon are still in Division 5 or 4 or wherever they are, because you're conscious of creating that culture for what you kind of got a great time out of, and you kind of want the next generation, and they might only be 10 or 12 years old at the moment playing go games or whatever, but you need to keep it there till they get to an age where they can kind of experience that and keep that club going as well.
You do, and I think, I think in a way, you know, walking away this year, I don't feel as guilty or as bad about it, because for the first while in a long time, Cremon has a real, real good bunch of young guys who are interested, they're committed, they really love their football. And if me and Dunica, you know, going on in our careers, be it with Mid-Kerry or Kerry, you know, served any little bit or played any little part in those guys deciding that they wanted to row in with Cremon and give it all, then I'm only delighted. But there's a good future there for us. We have really good numbers at underage. I was coaching down there as well for a couple of years with the under sevens and under nine. So hopefully, parted a bit of knowledge onto those guys.
They can all kick diagonal balls, is it?
We didn't get that technical yet. Don't know the old hand pass and the pick up off the ground. We were struggling with it at that age, but nobody, even at that, you know, it's great to see them up there in the field on a Sunday morning. Because, you know, going back to our own days, like, we never had structured under seven lines. I mean, your fourth real competitive game, you were thrown in the under 12s, and sure, you were probably 7 or 8 at that stage, you know. So, but look, that was different times. It's much more structured now. But no, the club is in a good place. And my parting words to the Cremon lads on the WhatsApp group before I left was, lads, I'm always here. I'm always a phone call away for a bit of advice. And I know that if I ever need a dig out as well from them, then they're only a phone call away as well, which is another thing you build up when you play with a club. You know, it's friendships for life, really, Donald, you know?
Absolutely. I remember going from 12 to 14 to senior the following day and ending up marking a character called Neely Donovan, who was actually a midfielder for the Kerry Miners in 75. So it tells you how old he was, yeah, and maybe how young I was.
Yeah.
I must have a good chat with Rosie about him, actually. Come here, Sean. One aspect that we'll just touch on before we go, Cremon bringing back the All-Ireland, I mean, bringing back the medals, bringing back the Sam Maguire, obviously every club loves to have their own part of the Kerry story, but yourself and Dunica more than made sure that Cremon had their part of the Kerry story as well.
Yeah, and look, I suppose if anyone, and look, lucky enough, Donal, to have some brilliant memories from playing for Cremon, Mid-Kerry and Kerry. But I think if I was put under pressure and asked what was my favourite moment of all, and look, you know, we had some great ones, but I think lifting the Sam Maguire in 2009 up on the Hogan stand with Dunica was, for me, you know, that will live forever in my mind. I have a picture of it up on my wall. I see it before I go to bed every night. My three young fellas here, they've grown up with that picture. They nearly knew Dunica's name before they knew mine, because I was pointing him out in the picture every
Uncle
night
Dunica.
Going to bed and coming down in the morning. But it's just a picture that I think it just really, really sums up what you can achieve, no matter what size your club is, what you can achieve if you're committed and you put your mind to it. And for myself and Dunica that year, to be able to lift that trophy together was just something special. We were both on the panel in 07 as well, in 07. When we won, but we lifted it separately that day because it was Dunica's first time lifting it. But we promised ourselves that if we got back and we were both there on an All-Ireland winning day again, that we'd lift it together, and we did. And I think it's a picture that I'll treasure forever. It's a great memory.
Well, listen, Sean, you have plenty of good pictures. I'm sure you're hanging up in a few walls around Cremon and outside of Cremon as well, hopefully in other pictures with Kerry teams and all that. Listen, thanks so much for what you've done for Cremon, I suppose, all over the years, and club football as well. And I suppose continuing to play it as well. I mean, obviously people will measure the career in medals, but sometimes I just think the longevity of a career, kind of speaks volumes for it as well. A guy, you know, that could give up maybe 5 years ago, but like you said, you keep the flag flying. And listen, thanks for keeping the flag flying. And Cremon, look, it's a great club. It's also a great club to go up and play minors with. They always be a kind of a neighbourly enough club and close enough. And I suppose back in those days, you just wanted to play a club that were either as good as you or as bad as you, but at least you went to the game and you were both as equal as each other, rather than getting a win or a hiding. Listen, Sean, the very best look in the career ahead, if you have another one. Sure, you never know, you might be back managing Cremon now. You have so much time in your hands, maybe might be easier to manage them than train with them. Listen, Sean, thanks very much, and thanks for your time this evening. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Kerry GAA Inter-Firms, they swing back into action. And of course, they had their first couple of games there recently enough. And Declan O'Sullivan joins us now to chat a little bit more about, I suppose, how this kind of sport can kind of gel your company, maybe gel a workforce into a football team or even a hurling team indeed. Declan, thanks very much for joining us. Kerry GAA Inter-Firms, people listening at home this evening, some people would have a bit of a clue, but some people have no clue at all. What is it and what's it all about?
Well, Sean, how are you? I suppose in many ways the Inter-Firms is almost the exact same as the club championship, in terms of we would have a county championship followed by an All-Ireland. The big difference being, instead of clubs, we have businesses and organisations that will come together and enter a team. So this year we have 5 teams entered. It's our first year back after the COVID break. And we just got back up and running at the weekend with our first game between the GMIB and insurances in Killarney and the Kerry Guards.
And I mean, obviously, this guess, when you're talking to firms, of course, you don't have the parish rule to worry about, or you don't have anything like that. You just literally have to be associated with the workforce as such, and they set the team up, and you obviously structure whether they're, I presume, senior or intermediate, or maybe they're all senior, whatever level they're at, and off you go.
That's it. So, no parish rule, but you have to be on the payroll of the company that you're entering. Because of numbers and staff and all that, mergers are allowed, the same as they would be allowed in the senior club championship with group teams. Mm-hmm. So similar businesses have done in the past, come together. For example, the teachers in Kerry might enter a team if they had the numbers, or in some cases we had the civil service in Kerry would enter a team. So once you have like-minded or complementary businesses, they can come together and enter a team as well. And grouping in Kerry, we have 5 clubs this year, so we have entered into a round robin format, with the top 2 clubs who play a county final, a senior final, and the next 2 would play a junior final, with all of them advancing into the All-Ireland stages at either senior, intermediate, or junior in the new year.
Mm-hmm. And I presume when you talk about a workforce, I mean, obviously you're talking about guys who have played it and maybe on the retirement scale coming back, but you obviously have quite a lot of talented players on that team as well. I mean, it's quite a decent spread of players, I'd imagine.
Well, the beauty of the Inter-Firms, and it's something I thought was great myself even when I was playing, is you would have a wide mix of players. You could have inter-county guys playing alongside guys who had never played football or were never a member of their local club. So you have a wide, I suppose, a wide, a wide range of skills and fitness levels, but it's played in good spirits. Now, it is a competitive competition, but it is played in good spirits, as I said, and the feedback we're getting is that guys involved, they genuinely enjoy being involved in the competition.
Absolutely, and of course it's a different social outlet as well. I mean, I suppose we'll say company bonding or working, and I suppose you're working one day, but you're going out and you're playing, and I suppose, you know, the other side of it is that there's a lot of people that kind of are fit and want to stay fit, and I suppose the commitment is only a couple of games, or unless you go on the All-Ireland trip and you have a couple of more games. But it's a great way too for kind of companies and firms kind of maybe to give a little bit back, maybe, and sponsor a set of jerseys for the team, or I don't know, maybe give them a meal or whatever it is. But it's surely a thumbs up for the companies as well.
Oh, absolutely, and we're very conscious that this is a social outlet as well for a lot of guys. When they might be coming to an end of their club career, there isn't that social GA competition that's out there that you would see in maybe in other sports. So this is a great opportunity for them to get the boots back off the shelf and bond with guys, especially if there's offices spread throughout Kerry. They might know each other, so just get the group together, get them out for half an hour, whatever it is, they'll play the football, and then what's very important afterwards is they get together afterwards, maybe in the local bar or the clubhouse, and just enjoy and relax and bond together. So you're dead right, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember I actually played that years ago. I was with Fexco at the time, and I had Billy Sullivan on one side and Mike Frank coming on as well. There weren't many times that I played with two Kerry players either side of me, but obviously, like you said, I mean, every and all could play as well at the time. And of course, we got a good hiding from Kerry group at the time, because they were winning at night, and they had a rake of Cora Dinahy's playing, and they could all play football out there. I must talk to Liam Brosnan about that gang. He'd be claiming responsibility for him. Come here, the two teams that get out finally, what's the journey like? Is there a Munster Championship, All-Ireland Championship? Is there a road to follow there as well?
There's an All-Ireland now. This year we don't have a Munster Championship. It's our first year back, and it just happens that the teams that are entered are nearly all Munster-based, with exception of a few teams in Dublin and a few teams in Galway. So what's happened is once they come out of Kerry, they go into an All-Ireland group. Depending on how they get on in Kerry, they'll be put into a senior or intermediate or junior championship, and they'll be straight knockouts from there on. But we'd be hopeful now, after seeing the standard and seeing some of the listed players that are signed up with the Kerry clubs, we'd be hoping to bring at least one All-Ireland back to the county again in the new year.
It's all about All-Ireland's decline, isn't it? You're measured no matter what level you're at. Come here, the season, I mean, you obviously started last week. It runs through the winter, I'm presuming, is it?
It does. No, it started a bit late this year, because this is our first year back after the COVID break, and we were just in negotiations with Croke Park, just working out some of the finer points in terms of insurance and things like that. So we did start a few weeks later. But what we try to do is normally start October, November time, because we don't want this to be clashing with club games. We don't want this to be clashing with county championship games, because this is further down the pecking order, if you will, but this is a social outlet as well. So we want this to come at a time when guys aren't concentrating on their clubs. So normally we do start October, November time, runs right up to Christmas, and then we'd normally have the Munster Championships and the All-Ireland in the new year.
Maybe there's some gang listening at home. Hopefully there's somebody listening to us at home and inside in the business as well. If they decide that, God, this sounds like a great idea, and I kind of missed the boat this year, or maybe we were involved years ago and we can kind of restructure it, maybe a small bit, get going, how do they get ready for maybe next season?
Well, they can contact myself or anyone on the Interfirm board. We're active on social media, on Twitter or Facebook, and just drop us a line or drop us a message, and we'll be back to them with information. Our contact details are on the OLERA that the county board prints every year as well, so we can be reached that way as well. But always and absolutely delighted to welcome new teams in and try to grow the championship again for next year.
Mm-hmm. And of course you mentioned players clashing with clubs, of course, but I presume that a steady amount of them are still club playing players, and some of them maybe even a higher standard than that, maybe.
Well, you would. Roughly on average, I would say two-thirds of the guys that are signed up this year would be active within their club, and out of the other 33%, they're either former players or they've never played at all. But you would, from time to time, get guys who have played for Kerry seniors, and they're all welcome to have. It's a great buzz for the other guys to be involved in playing a competitive game with a Kerry senior or a senior from any other county for that matter. So we're delighted to welcome them, we're delighted to have them, and the more the merrier.
try and grow them. I remember a couple of years ago I was absolutely frozen. I was covering one of the finals and Nat Kishay's won it, or MD's O'Shea's, I suppose the official title, and fathers and sons playing and everything with him.
You could have that, yeah. You would absolutely have that from time to time. Or like you said, you would have, you could be playing next to the likes of Mike Frank Russell in his heyday. So you could get, at any given day, you could have any mix of players, which is always one of the more appealing aspects of the interferment.
Fair play. Now you can let us know, how good were the guards? Somebody wants to know.
Well, I need to be careful. I think they were brilliant.
And of course, when you say Kerry guards, I mean obviously they're the Kerry based guards as such, is it?
Yes, any guard that's based or stationed in the Kerry County Kerry location is eligible to play there. Yeah.
Jeez, we'll have to get the teachers out next year. Really, to be fair, is there a Kerry teachers team?
We don't have a teachers, but we have Clash and Skellige have entered on their own, and they're making their debut next weekend. They are playing Estellas from Killarglen, so it's their first time in a long time that they are entering, and we're looking forward to see what they have and what they're made of.
God almighty, do they have the fella playing corner forward maybe?
They're always looking for extra fellas if you have any qualifications.
Tis backs they need back in Clash's killing, not forwards, there are plenty of them. Listen, Declan, thanks very much. And look, it's great to shine, I suppose, a small bit of a light on it. And you know what? Maybe if we do get on an All-Ireland journey with one of the teams, we might check in with him as well. You never know, we might bring him in some night and maybe just explore maybe a little bit more about the fun. It sounds like a real fun thing to do as well. And it's like I said, it's a great social occasion. And I'd imagine, you know, I suppose it's great, I suppose, if you have kids and families and all that kind of crack, that they can come along and see Daddy playing and maybe recall past glories and the whole lot with younger colleagues and the whole lot. And the other aspect, you're right there, Declan, it's great to be able to kind of maybe play with players that are playing and maybe you just maybe standing in the corner gathering a ball, because it gets very troubled once you put on a jersey, regardless of whether it's the All-Ireland final at inter-county level or whether it's an inter-firm game in Carsley or somewhere like that. Declan, thanks very much for all the fine work that you're doing, and we might check in with you maybe over the next couple of weeks maybe as well, just to keep us abreast of what's happening.
No problem, Don. Thanks very much.
Fair play. Of course, that's Declan O'Sullivan, and he is with the Kerry J Interfirms. And I know most people outside there will say, yeah, I remember that. I remember Johnny playing with the company and they won this and that. But that's what that is. And of course, I suppose after COVID closing down, it was hard to kind of regain stuff and get back. But we'll talk, and we'll talk more after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, former Cork goalkeeper Donal Cusack has hit out a decision to show four Munster Hurling Championship games on GAA Go next year. Now, three of Cork's round-robin games will be broadcast exclusively live by the subscription service, and Cusack claims that putting those games behind a paywall is continuing a trend in neglecting the game and part of our culture. Well, Larry McCarthy spoke to Tommy Rooney earlier today at the launch of GAA Go in Croke Park.
Larry McCarthy, GAA President. We're here at the launch of GAA Go's coverage for 2024. A big day for the GAA.
A big day for GAA, a big day for GAA Go, obviously, in terms of this is our second year. As I said in my comments earlier, we're not going to have a sophomore slump, which is a slight decline in quality of presentation, etc. 38 games, for great value at €79. Lots of games would not necessarily be picked up by free-to-air, will be shown, including, I suppose, the two games outside of Ireland, one in Ruislip and one in New York, which is, obviously, I'm being a bit parochial in making that comment, but, you know, always a delight to see coverage for those two particular games.
I suppose the reception last year and the manner in which it went down, was that frustrating for the GAA?
Well, I think what happened was that we had a new service that was bedding in and people didn't realise the implications of it. But once they understood it and once they knew how good the quality of the presentation was, they were reasonably happy at the end of the year. And so we've taken a lot of those sort of things on board. We've talked to all of our subscribers, and one of the things they've come back to us and said, look, we would like a midweek show, a game. We'd like a midweek show. And so we're giving them that, you know, as well as the quality of the presentation, which I think was quite creative. And you know, if I can say that some of the presentation of games has become a little bit stale in across an awful lot of networks. There was a sort of a creativity associated with GAA Go, which we hadn't seen before.
Yeah, streaming has obviously been a part of the GAA schedule for a long time now, but I suppose the jump into it last year, the biggest kickback came from Munster Hurling Games, and you said that you listened to feedback this year, and the midweek highlight show is a great addition. What other feedback would you have taken on board last year when you're thinking about this year?
Well, in general, people were very happy with the quality of the service that they got. They were happy with that creativity and that new sort of fresh approach, which are analysts and our prognosticators. They were the two things. The price points they were quite happy with, so we retained them, and we found they were very, very good value. And obviously the 10% reduction we give to members, and we give it free to care institutions as well. They were very happy with that.
Yeah, so you know, some of the comments last year would have been from Alan Dillon, say, a player who's played here in Croke Park numerous times now at TD, would have been an invisible barrier for the elder generation. Is it just something that can't be avoided, or is that something you would have been frustrated about?
Well, I mean, I think it needed to bed in, and people needed to get familiar with how this whole system worked and how GAA Go operated. But at the end of the year, I think, based on the feedback we got from those service, people were quite happy about the whole thing, you know. But I mean, it's like the championship, it's like the new championship. It's going to take time to bed in, so people get familiar with it so they can use it, and it's just, you know, part and parcel of the landscape ultimately. But it does take that little time. And so inevitably, when you introduce something new, there's going to be a frustration around it in terms of our appreciation of it, and we said the consumer's appreciation of it.
Yeah. Will it go down well in Cork that there's 3 months around Robin games behind the subscription service?
I'm sure it will. At the end of the day, it will. I mean, the two of those games, I believe, are on Sundays, and RTE picked two other games. So if we don't show the games, well, they're not going to be shown.
In terms of your tenure as GAA presidency, how are you reflecting on your 3 years?
Well, I've always said, virtually since I started, it was the best job I ever had in my life. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been go, go, go. And, you know, it was well worth moving to Ireland for 3 years to take up the role. And I'm delighted I absolutely did it. You know, I'll miss it at some level. At another level, I won't, because it's such, you know, you are constantly on the go. But without a shadow of a doubt, it's been the best job I ever had.
You've obviously, you mentioned how busy it was the 3 years, and I'm sure you'll miss plenty of it as well. What would you like your legacy to be as GAA president?
Oh, I'll let somebody else write that. I'll let somebody else write that legacy. I'm too close to it to determine what my individual legacy might be.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
No, my next guest will come to an end of a 5-year term next Tuesday evening when he finally presents his final set of accounts. Tom Kane, it's been a long journey. In those 5 years, though, you certainly have left the cupboard a lot better than you found it.
Well, I hope so, Donal. I suppose for coming here this evening into our media briefing. I suppose 5 years, it's after flying by, really. It's been challenging at times, I suppose, in the earlier stages with COVID. We had All-Irelands in 19, we went to a replay, we had All-Irelands in 22, and we had another All-Irelands in 23. So I suppose any county treasurer around the country will always kind of say that if you get to an All-Ireland final in your term, it's fantastic. But I've been fortunate, I've had three.
Mm-hmm. Of course, getting to an All-Ireland final somewhere, we might even start on that, it adds to the expense of the year. Obviously, the supporters want to be in Croke Park, and I suppose traditionally the end of September, now it's nearly the end of July. But I mean, the expense and things have gone up and up and up.
They have. I suppose, you know, you're talking about hotels inside in Dublin. There's a lot of challenges, I suppose, from a board point of view, you know, especially around the whole split season side of it, that everything knows around the summer months inside in Dublin City, where it's hard to get accommodation, it's hard to get various different things. And I suppose, you know, there's kind of, I suppose a major shortage of hotel rooms up there, and we've always found, say weekends of matches, that it's always been a kind of a heavy burden on the board. But look, I suppose all those things aside, it's always great to be in an All-Ireland final, regardless, you know, of the cost, really. Mm-hmm.
And of course, in your term of those 5 years, of course, you had the Joe McDonough finals as well, and the hurlers, and you did have to take the decision to kind of fly the hurlers home because of the expense of Dublin.
That's right. In June of 22 of last year, we were fortunate. Our hurlers hit the Joe McDonough final, so it was great. And at the time, we were getting hotels out in Port Leash, out around there. So we just made a decision that it was actually easier to bring the players up the morning of the match and get them flown back down. And we were able to do that with the assistance of our friends in Kerry Airport. So I suppose a lot of a sponsor to us, which was great. So it was able to, everything and anything like that done is always a great help.
Mm-hmm. Back to the figures that you will produce to the delegates next Tuesday evening. A profit of 400,000. You can't be too upset with that.
No, I suppose, look, I just mentioned it there to the lads in around the table a while ago. There's four figures that kind of shine out. The profit of 400,000 that you just mentioned, we have 2.8 million in the bank. We owe the bank 1.5 million. And look, our team expenses from last year are up slightly over 200,000. So they're the main four figures that people are probably going to zone in on. And I suppose, look, we were fortunate that we were able to kind of hold back a lot of our reserves, and that's showing a surplus of 391,000 year on year. And I suppose, look, a lot of it realistically is basically, you know,
so we said money in the bank at the end of the day, time is 400,000. Let's go back to the team figure. That's the one, like I said, that kind of jumps out every year, and it's the one the media kind of traditionally look at. Of course, when you look at that team figure, it's the team figure for hurling and football that, and all the age groups, 20s, minors and seniors. It's beginning to climb a bit, isn't it?
It is, but I suppose, look, we as a board, over the last 5 years, we've invested heavily on our players over the last, I suppose, minor the whole way up, both hurling and football. And for that, we make no apologies to no one from a point of view that we have to invest in our players. It's no different to any businessman out there. He invests in his business and he'd always have a return at the end of it. So that's why we're in All-Ireland finals, all the investments which have been done. We also, I suppose, you know, looking at Donal from a point of view that we were probably a bit unfortunate this year with the amount of injuries in both hurling and football, in both under-20s as well, hurling and football there as well, that we had a lot of injuries, long-term injuries, and players tied up with club commitments earlier in the year in the league and so forth, that we just had to increase the numbers of the panels, which in turn obviously increases the cost, because you have gear, you have food, you have transport, you have hotel accommodation and that sort of stuff. So yeah, look, we're showing just shy of 1.7 million euro for the cost of our teams. And you know, I suppose, look, it's all that would include, as I say, the accommodation for away games. It would include meals and transport and so forth, and the gear, extra nutritional stuff that they'd be getting, and so on. So from that point of view, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Of course, when you mentioned the word investment, I suppose some people think bank maybe straight away, but when you're saying investing, I mean it's what you're giving the player that puts on that jersey. I mean, it's all that ancillary support, like I suppose all the health benefits that come along with it, like I said, obviously the nutrition, the training, I suppose the time as well. It's crucial to keep investing in your players.
Well, absolutely. Look, it's like anything. If we don't look after our players, we won't have, you know, like I suppose there'll be no teams heading up the motorway up to Croke Park, and that we, the GAA in Kerry, are very proud of that, of that tradition. And I suppose, look, you know, the physiotherapy, the medical bills as well this year, just over 200,000 euro, which reflects on the amount of medical care which we have pumped into our players. Although they were out injured, we have to mind them for the next few years as well. So that's I suppose that's kind of very important to us.
Yeah, it's a huge figure actually, Tom. 200,000
on medical.
Hopefully all those players will be back around. Let's change away from the intercounty. One of the figures that kind of jumped out at me as well is one going a little bit backwards. it's the club games, it's the income, the traditional income, I suppose, of the gate as such. It's slipping backwards a small bit, Tom, particularly from last year's figure, maybe.
It is, and it's a concern, and I suppose it's a concern right across the country. It isn't just not, I suppose, not necessarily here in Kerry, but I'm here to talk about Kerry's expenses, and I'm concentrating on that. I suppose, look, we're slightly down on last year's figures of €160,000 of income at gate, but I suppose this needs to be pointed out as well, that these figures are up to our year end, which is the 30th of September. And up to the 30th of September of 22, we had €900,000 of an income, which reflected all of the county championship and the bulk of the club championship, which was played in 21 after the 30th of September. Because if you can remember, we were coming out of COVID and a lot of those games were played very late. So these figures I presented, say, tonight, at the AGM next Tuesday night, a lot of these figures will probably be a lot to be comparable on an annual basis going forward from here. And I suppose, you know, look, we're fortunate enough that we've linked in with Clubber, which will shows our games right around the world, which brings a lot of joy to our people that are overseas, and brings a bit of a bit of comfort to them. And on top of that, I suppose, look, it needs to be pointed out as well, Donald, that our hurling championship is up year on year this year, which is a reflection of where hurling is in the county. And I suppose all those things need to be pointed out as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, the demand for the hurling championship is absolutely massive. I often wonder, is it because it's played kind of in the summertime that more people are heading in? But there are questions for another day and probably more people to answer them. Let's go back to the money in the bank. People will be astounded that there's 2.8 million in the bank. Is there plans for that, or is that money that kind of just sits there in reserve for maybe a rainy day?
At the moment, it's fairly well known around the county. Look, that we have a job to do here in Austin Stack Park. We're doing a job in the terracing, which on the Horan's Inn, as you know, locally. We're also looking at doing a few items in Corran's, where we have a 4G pitch planned for in 2024. We also put in two other grass sand-based pitches in Corran's. And obviously, look, it's fairly well known around that we have a lot of, I suppose, preparatory work done on Fitzgerald Stadium, which needs to be redeveloped. It needs a lot of it needs a big investment, and I suppose, look, that's the thing that we're kind of putting a lot of our energies into at the moment. So on top of that, from a board point of view, traditionally a lot of our income would be from the latter six months of the year. So a lot of our spending would be done earlier in the year when our teams are training and games are on. A lot of our income doesn't realistically come until after our game, so we just need to kind of, I suppose, plan for that and have our funds on reserve for that. And look, as I said to you a while ago, yes, we have 2.8 million in the bank, but we also owe 1.5. So look, you know, a lot of those, the loan that's there is being repaid, and it's on schedule, so we are in a good place, no doubt about that.
I remember 5 years ago when Tom Kane went, he said the one thing that we can exploit and that we haven't exploited enough is commercial income. It's absolutely grown over the 5 years, and I suppose a lot of people will talk about maybe selling jerseys and that kind of stuff, and that helps with all Ireland, but there's a lot more than that as well.
There is, Donald, and look, it's a thing I suppose, you know, I worked on very hard, and it was difficult at times with COVID and that sort of stuff. But the commercial income, we have a lot of associate sponsors build up over the years. We as a board have worked very hard at it, and look, our competition sponsors are there, and obviously, look, we're delighted to be associated with Kerry Group, kind of world renowned company, and they are our loyal sponsors. And obviously we have O'Neill's up there as well, and from that point of view, it's you know, we are in a good place. It has doubled over the last 5 years, which I think I'm kind of proud of myself, to be fair. But yes, there's still an awful lot more to be done on it, and I suppose, you know, if we just zoned in a little bit further on it, and certainly we're on the right road.
So you'll be hoping for lots of little Santa Claus gifts and everything with Kerry crests and everything at Christmas time.
I've written to Santa Claus myself, Don, and hoping that I get one before I finish up my 5 year term next Tuesday night. You'd never know what he'll produce to me.
Absolutely. Of course, you're not going away, Tom. Next Tuesday evening, you'll be kind of stepping backwards maybe into the assistant treasurer's role. I suppose after 5 hard years, it's nice to still be involved, and I suppose you're not going to kind of just let up, are you?
No, look, I suppose Paddy Healy, who came in last year as the assistant treasurer, he's now stepping up to the role of the treasurer of the board. I suppose Paddy is also a Kilcommon man, where I'm, you know, where I'm living myself. I know Paddy well. Just while I'm on about it, I'd just like to wish Paddy and his wife to be, Martine O'Neill, they're getting married on Saturday week in Kinmare Church. So wish the two lads the very best. But I suppose, yeah, look, I'm hitting for the assistant treasurer role. Just like to stay involved in the board. I feel there's still like a bit more to give, and look, hopefully we won't be too far away.
Absolutely, and sure, worst case scenario, you can go back to South Kerry, maybe, and take charge there, would you?
Well, you know, we take one step at a time.
There you go, Tom Kane taking one step at a time, and you can hear his financial report tomorrow evening at the Kerry JAGM. Great show this evening. Thanks to everybody that helped and contributed and joined with loads of O'Sullivans, and the very best luck to Dingle, of course, on Sunday above there in Limerick, and of course the very best luck to Sennans and Ballydunno. We can't pick a winner. I think Moray is looking for a draw, so hopefully we'll get a draw. Up next is Tok Sus. Mayor's got a new cup, a cup big enough for both of us, I'd say, at this stage. It's not the Sam Maguire, she might tell you what it is later on. Big thanks to Keane, and a huge thanks as well to Ivan, and we will do it all again next week.